Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to get started here, and we've got some things we're taking care of here in the back, but we're going to go ahead and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We've got a special story this morning from Jesus, one you probably heard before, the story of Zacchaeus. And it's kind of neat. This is particular. Luke's Gospel is the only one that records this story, so this is kind of neat to get to read this morning. And before we do that, let's go ahead and go to God in prayer, and then we'll begin. So if you would, please pray with me. Father, we approach your throne through Jesus' name, and we trust in his blood that it cleanses us from our sins. Father, we want to ask for mercy and grace to just forgive us of our many sins. Father, forgive this nation of all the things that we've done to turn against you, to reject you, and Father, have mercy on us and on this church, and we just ask that we would be used by you to rebuild and to restore and to be a blessing in this community, in this city. And Father, turn our hearts right now to your Son and to his grace and what he's done for us, and turn us, Lord, to your word, and give us understanding, give us encouragement, and let us encourage one another to do your works more and more. And Father, we just thank you for everyone's who is here, and just let them know how much you love them. And we ask your blessing on our study this morning. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning again. It's good to see so many with us. And like I said earlier, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. The story of Zacchaeus. And this is going to be a good study. Let's look at verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, and he was about to pass that way. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He is gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of all my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And we begin here in verse 1. Jericho is a prominent and famous city in the Bible. We've heard about this before, and we think about the book of Joshua. This is the city which, through God's power, he gave Joshua the ability to conquer. And there's some neat stories associated with that. Jericho would have been a prominent city and would have been likely wealthy during this time. It was situated close to the Jordan River, and this would have been a place where it would have been easy to ford, that is, cross the river. And so it was a natural place to do business and to trade. And notice here, our star character today, Zacchaeus, it tells us that he was a chief tax collector. So this is maybe a little bit different from a tax collector. Maybe he was a man who was a go-between. He was in between the Romans and between the tax collectors. Likely, he didn't collect taxes himself, but rather he collected it from the people who collected taxes. So this is an extremely rich man. And it's kind of interesting here to stop and note the context. Does anybody remember a rich man that we've talked about recently in the past? the rich young ruler. I don't know if someone said that or not, or can't hear exactly what was said. But so just a few verses before, we've been talking about the rich young ruler. And I want to just stop for a second and recap that story, because I think it's really important when we read this story, which is right next to it, about Zacchaeus, who is a rich man. We need to read these stories together, and it's kind of neat to compare them and to see the differences. So we just jump back just a little bit back to chapter 18 and look at verse 18. And we read about this rich young ruler who, in Mark's account, he ran up to Jesus, he fell down, and he gives him this compliment. He calls him good teacher. And of course, Jesus responds correctly by saying this title is reserved for God alone. Right? This is a title that Jesus points out that no one is good except for God alone, and how true that is. And then the rich young ruler, he asked this most important question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then they begin to talk and have discussion, and a few different things come up here that we want to summarize. So Jesus, as they're talking, it comes out that this rich young ruler, he's obeyed the commandments of God ever since his youth. And then Jesus points out that one thing is still lacking, and he's told to sell all that he has and to give to the poor, and the promises he will have treasure in heaven. And then Jesus says, come and follow me. And so the important verse here in verse 23 through 24, he becomes extremely sad because he's a rich man and he's not willing to give up his possessions. And that's something I want us to remember as we compare these two stories. And then, so at this point, this is a very discouraging, possibly even depressing story. And then we look at verse 26. This prompts the question from the disciples, from Peter, who said, then who can be saved, right? If this man can't be saved, who's done all these good things and has followed God's commandments, who then can be saved? And then we have this response from Jesus: what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I want us to remember this as we're studying. We're going to come back to this. So look now at verse 2 over in 19. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And I don't think we pointed out earlier, but the name Zacchaeus, when translated, means poor or possibly innocent, or pure rather, or innocent. So, right, this is a nice name to have, which says a lot about this individual. And it's interesting to note that this name, Zacchaeus, is actually mentioned in the Old Testament in a slightly different form. But we also see in the rabbinic writings, there was a man named Zacchaeus of Jericho who is mentioned, and he actually had a famous son. So likely this is the same person. It's kind of neat to see some extra biblical writings that point out some of these things. And we talked about how he was this chief among the publicans, among the tax collectors, and how wealthy and rich Jericho must have been. And then we're considering this fact that he's rich just like this rich young ruler, and we want to discuss this morning the differences in the way that they interact with the Lord. So let's continue here. And we're going to pick up in verse 3 now, 19. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So we see the first positive attribute of Zacchaeus. He was seeking to see Jesus. And I think it's neat to use our imagination and to see the great crowds. And we view Jesus like a rock star, and just mobs, all kinds of people are trying to crowd the streets and get close to Him, to hear Him, to touch Him, based on other scriptures that we've read. And Zacchaeus has got some pretty good strategy here. He decides to run ahead and to climb up a tree. He thinks, if I can just climb up this tree, I can predict where the Lord's going to be, and then I will be able to see Him. This is just a neat story, and this is a positive attribute, and there's so many different stories about people trying to do whatever they can to get to the Lord, and this is what we need to be like ourselves, to seek Him with all of our heart and to draw near to the Lord. And you ask the question, you know, why, out of all the tax collectors in Israel during this time, why is Zacchaeus remembered? And I think maybe this is one of the qualities that the Lord wants us to understand, that he was a man who sought hard after the Lord with all of his heart. And then I wanted to ask the question, why do you think Jesus, or rather Zacchaeus, was seeking Jesus? Any ideas? Anything, Jeff? What do you think? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, it definitely sends a powerful message when you go to those extreme measures to climb a tree just to see someone. It tells a lot about what you know what he thinks about Jesus. This is an extremely important deal to him, and you know, surely Zacchaeus has heard something of the fame of Jesus. How wonderful this man is, that many are ascribing to him, that he's the son of David, that he's the one that Moses wrote about. And, you know, likely somebody could have told him the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that we read here in Luke chapter 18. Wouldn't that have been cool to hear that? You're a tax collector yourself, and there's this great prophet, this great teacher, the Son of God, is telling this story about a tax collector being justified and the Pharisee going away and his prayer not being answered. And don't you know that had to just fill his heart with joy and faith and love, that a tax collector could be accepted. How cool would that have been? James, go ahead. Okay. Okay, yeah. Well, it's really wonderful to have people here this morning who have climbed trees before, and they can tell us it's not easy. So that just points to the fact that the desperation and the great desire that Zacchaeus had to get to the Lord, just to see Him. So let's continue here. So verse 4 again, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Verse 5 tells us, and Jesus came to the place. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And if you're putting yourself in the shoes of this story, I mean, you can almost feel your heart beating as the Lord comes up and he looks up to him, and then he responds and he says, Zacchaeus. How did Jesus know his name? Don't you maybe wonder that? Jeff, any ideas there? Yeah. 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 So this Jesus' divinity is all over verse 5. where he knows his name, and this was in Jesus' foreknowledge to go to this man's house. It seems pretty clear from the text, and this reminds me of, do you remember the calling of the disciples, and do you remember when Jesus called Nathanael? How cool that encounter was. It kind of reminds me of that. And that's recorded over in the early chapters of the Gospel of John. If you want to turn over there, I'd like to just point out that. We're talking about Jesus's foreknowledge in the way that he knew Zacchaeus's name. He didn't have to tell him, and he knew his heart, surely, and he knew that he was going to go over to his house that day. John chapter 1, verse 43. Look at some of these verses here. And this is the calling of his disciples. It says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." So likely this is some of the same stuff that Zacchaeus has heard, that we found this one that the prophets have prophesied about. "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then verse 46, Nathanael responds. He said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite, and he indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Because you said, because I said to you, 'I saw you under the fig tree,' do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I think it's kind of neat to read those side by side. As Jesus is calling Nathanael, he's able to say that, "I saw you under the fig tree." And some people say of this passage that this is a Hebrew expression that points to the fact that Jesus saw Nathanael while he was a little child. It was the custom during these days for Hebrew women to set their babies while they were working in the field. They would set them under fig trees. So some people point out that possibly Jesus is saying, "I've known you your whole life. I knew you while you were a baby under the fig tree." And regardless, Philip is amazed to the point, or I'm sorry, Nathanael is amazed to the point that he declares that he's the Son of God. So I think that that's similar here from what Zacchaeus is experiencing. So let's look back at what happens here, continuing in Luke 19, verse 6. "So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully." And so there we see the second positive thing from Zacchaeus. Not only is he seeking the Lord with great urgency, climbing trees just to look upon him, just to see him, but then he receives the Lord joyfully. These are two things that we need to make sure that we're doing in our lives. But verse 7, look at what the response of the crowd is. "And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone to be a guest of a man who is a sinner.'" And I think it's interesting here to notice the wording here. It says not just a few people grumbled, but they all grumbled. And what do you think this is based on our study of Luke so far? Anybody have any ideas of why these people are grumbling and why they're upset that Jesus is going to be a guest of this chief tax collector? Any ideas? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, James just gave the Bible's answer to this. It tells us why they were grumbling, because he was a sinner. And this is just a really big deal. This is really a controversial move for Jesus to make. It's politically controversial in many ways. Tax collectors were traitors, they're sellouts, they were following Rome and in a sense betraying their people, and they were very hated. And here Jesus is going to hang out with these people. This is really offensive to a lot of people. Okay. Yeah. So Jesus has got an agenda, which he's going to explain why he's going in to be a guest of this tax collector. But also, yeah, he judges by a different standard. He judges by the heart and not just by outward appearances like the Pharisees. And of course, this is religiously controversial, that he's eating with these sinful people and lowering himself and humbling himself to be in their presence. So this is quite a powerful scene here, and is continuing this theme that we see all throughout Luke of Jesus hanging out with these people who are extremely controversial and sinful. And we continue and take a look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." So now I want us to keep in mind what we studied earlier in previous weeks about the rich young ruler. Can anybody see something in this verse that might be different from the rich young ruler? Jeff? Okay. Yeah, I think we see here with Zacchaeus, he joyfully receives the Lord. His heart is just in the right place. He does everything to get to see him. And then before the Lord commands him to give his possessions away, like we saw in the previous story, Zacchaeus, he volunteers. And he says, "I'm going to give a half of all of my wealth, and I'm going to give it to the poor." And this reflects the joy and the love in his heart. And I think it's also interesting, if we look back to the rich young ruler, Jesus commanded him to give away all of your wealth. And here we see the story right after it of Zacchaeus, who is equally a rich man. He gives away half of his possessions. Has anybody thought about that? It's a little bit different. These individuals seem to be treated differently. Does anybody have any thoughts about that? Or has anybody thought that's a little bit interesting? Yeah. 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 And at that point, Jesus could have responded and he could have said, "You know what, Zacchaeus, that's great. You gave half, but I want the other half too. Go ahead and give that up, and then you'll be perfect." It's interesting he doesn't do that. So it's really important when we read the Bible that we read it in context together, and we read these two stories together, and we don't just go with the rich young ruler or we don't just go with Zacchaeus. And then really, we read these in context of the whole New Testament. Mark, any ideas, thoughts? That's really huge. I want us to talk about that in a second to bring that back up. Notice here, as we're contrasting these two stories again, notice the rich young ruler, Jesus commands him, you know, sell all your possessions, give them to distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So that's a little bit different. Jesus doesn't call Zacchaeus to follow him. So many have suggested that with the rich young ruler, he had a unique calling. Jesus was calling him to come, possibly even be one of his apostles, who knows, or to be a disciple of the Lord. And so I think this points out the fact that where there are, you know, commonalities, we have to surrender everything to the Lord, but sometimes that looks different. People have different roles to play in the body of Christ. There's different members. Some people are called to be missionaries. Some people are called to be preachers. Some people are called to be godly fathers and mothers and different things. So it seems to be that the best answer that I can come up with is that the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus were called to different roles within the kingdom of God. And so I think this is very important. For instance, we think about the different members in our body. If we get some kind of false understanding that everybody has to be the hand, that's going to be hard for the foot to ever live up to those expectations, right? So we need to have this realistic, biblical understanding that God is not expecting feet to be hands, nor is He expecting hands to be feet. So we have to be faithful to what God has called us in our specific roles within the church. Gerald? Well, that's a beautiful response there, Gerald, and we're pointing to the heart. Surely Jesus was fully satisfied with where Zacchaeus' heart was, or he would have responded. He would have said, no, this is not enough. You need to give more. So that's a wonderful answer, and I think whatever we do, is, if we read in the New Testament, it needs to be done out of faith, right? If there's this great burden that we have to... there's something lacking in our life that we need to do to fulfill Scripture, we need to do that. We need to do those things that our heart might be at peace and be right before the Lord. And Mark pointed out a very important point here. Not only did he give up half of all of his great wealth to the poor, but notice this other part that is a fruit of his repentance here. This is important. So, verse 7 or verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." That's one subject that we maybe don't talk about as much when we're talking about repentance, right? If I've stolen and I've defrauded a bunch of people, I think this is the appropriate response. When I become a Christian, when I meet Jesus Christ, when I come to a knowledge of the Scripture, what is God requiring me to do? I think He's requiring me to give back those things that I've stolen. And this is very appropriate. I think that this is something that is pleasing in God's eyes and maybe something that we need to reflect on, setting the record straight. This is a good quality for him to have. Backtracking just a little bit, does anybody remember maybe a time, maybe you witnessed a Christmas party or something where you had a gift to give and you were just so excited, so overjoyed for somebody else to open this? Maybe you bought it for your parents or your brother or sister or somebody, and you were personally, the joy of giving was so overwhelming, and I think it points to the fact that Jesus tells us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think because of this, I think Zacchaeus was just full of joy. He had to be so satisfying because it's such a wonderful thing to give to God, and this is where we're ultimately happy. I've definitely witnessed that before, where people have a gift to give, and they're almost just jumping out of their seat. They can't wait until somebody opens their gift, and this is the way giving should be. It should be such a wonderful thing to give something to our God, to give something to Jesus for all that He's done for us. And continuing verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And it's clear without a shadow of a doubt that God received this offering from him of half of all of his wealth, and declares that salvation has come to his house this very day. And that's a wonderful summary there of this story. And then Jesus also, it's kind of neat to notice that he summarizes this. And he answers the question of those who were grumbling against him. And he says, my purpose was because I was seeking and saving the lost. So it's neat to notice that Zacchaeus was seeking the Lord with great intensity. But here the Lord was seeking after him, and that's such a beautiful thing, right? That's the way we need to be. We need to be seeking after the Lord, and then when he's seeking after us, what a wonderful thing that is. And there's great promises and assurance when we draw near to the Lord. When we seek after him, the promises that we will find, and I hope that we can be encouraged by Zacchaeus. And then also, I hope that we can be encouraged to be like the Lord Jesus. After we find Him, we're now fishers of men, and we need to be like Jesus. We need to be hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. We need to be seeking the lost. And we've been studying through the week the book of Revelation, and that is just a heavy book that tells us about eternal truths that are just too wonderful to understand, talking about the eternal life and the eternal joy that God is going to give to those that overcome. It also talks about the judgment and the wrath of the Lamb that is too terrible for our minds to understand. And because of that, we need to be doing whatever it takes to invite people to come into this assembly, to hear the saving knowledge of Jesus, to bring people in and to invite them and to do whatever it takes to seek out the lost. So we're out of time this morning. Let's go to God one more time in prayer, and then we'll have a break before our service. So Father, we just approach your throne and we praise you. We thank you so very much for your word. I pray that we would be like Zacchaeus, Father, that we would draw near to you. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have come to seek and save the lost. And let us have that same spirit, Lord, and give us a joyful spirit, Lord, to receive you and to give our lives to you. And if it's to give our wealth, so be it, Father. Let us do that joyfully. And we just thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. And we want to pray a special prayer for our worship service, Father, that you would receive the fruit of our lips, and that you would strengthen Brother Kelly as he preaches his lesson, and that we would put those words into practice. Bless this church. It's all through Jesus we pray. Amen.